It's your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC for 20 great years has the best OTR on our live streaming. And continue tuning in to the Radio Book Channel, along with the RTC Music Channel. All at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
Welcome one and all to the RTC Weekly Download, where we play the best old-time radio, some newer than older. And an example of that today will be the CBS Radio Workshop. Now, this actually aired, I believe, in public radio in 1998, but it aired in the mid-70s originally on CBS, of course. And it's about a 45-minute show. It's actually, I have a date for it. It's 1975. And it's called Snake in the Grass. Let's give it a listen.
Come in. Welcome. Welcome to Mystery Theater. I'm Hyman Brown, your special envoy from a wild and weird country that exists way down deep in your very own imagination. To many people, especially city dwellers, grass is something to smoke, or perhaps something that has keep-off signs on it. The fact is, grass is the foundation of life as we know it. All the greens we eat are grasses. All of the meat we eat is nothing more than grasses transformed. In many ways, the quality of our existence depends on the quality of our grass, which means that those who can change that quality, for better or worse, literally hold our lives in their hands.
All we need is your confession.
I didn't kill him.
You swore you were going there to shoot him.
I know, but...
You did go there.
Yes.
You confronted him.
I did.
The gun. Now, this is the gun that fired the bullet. Can you identify it?
I already have. It's mine. I don't deny it. I tell you, I didn't kill him.
Just look at all the evidence.
I don't care about the evidence. I know I didn't kill him.
Our mystery drama, Snake in the Grass, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Sandy Dennis. I'll be back shortly with Act One. Her name is Augusta Sanderson. She's 36 years old, and while there are those who say she has never been kissed, we cannot vouch for the complete accuracy of that statement. What does she do? She's an agriculturalist. An unusual occupation for a woman? Well, don't say that. We live in liberated times. You'd be surprised at the things women can do. You might venture to inquire why they want to do them, but that's another story. Our story begins in a quiet university town in the Northwest.
Hey, ma'am.
I'll thank you not to patronize me.
Well, all I say was...
I'll thank you not to call me ma'am. Ma'am is short for madam, and I am neither the mistress of a household nor the keeper of a brothel.
Well, I only wanted to say hello and welcome to Pete's for 25 years, an oasis for the thirsty.
I have a B.A., an M.A., and a Ph.D. I hold the rank of full professor at the School of Agriculture. I don't have to be addressed as ma'am as if I were some fragile Victorian lady.
Well, how's Doc? Or Prof?
Now, I intend to become extremely inebriated.
Oh?
And it's just as well that I don't make a spectacle of myself. Let me have a...
A what?
I don't know. Tell me, what's best to make you forget?
Well, nothing can ever really make you forget.
Very well. What is good for building courage?
Again, nothing.
That's not what I hear.
Well, it's true. You get, maybe, the illusion of courage, but not the real thing.
Well, dispenser of illusions, pour one for me.
Oh, you must be the lady prof at the Ag School, huh?
The lady prof at the Ag School.
You know Dr. Howells?
Do I know Dr. Howells?
Yeah, I was reading about him in the papers.
Let me tell you how well I know Dr.
Wasn't
Howells.
Wasn't that a terrific thing he discovered?
I know Eugene Everett Howells well enough to kill him.
His new feed grants will mean that millions of starving people... What'd you say?
I said I intend to kill him.
Yeah. Well,
all I need is the courage, or the illusion of it, and I'm feeling bolder every minute.
Yeah, look, don't you think you better...
Don't I think I'd better what, go home?
Stop talking foolishly.
But I have every right to talk foolishly. You know why? Because I've been a fool all my life.
Yeah, well, I'll get somebody to take you home.
The article in the paper said that Dr. Howells discovered, created the new feed grass. He didn't do it.
He didn't?
No, I did.
You did? Okay.
I mean it. I really mean it. It's mine.
Oh, sure.
You see, you don't believe it.
Well, I...
In the Himalayan regions in Asia, the terrain, the climate, is almost like what we have here.
Yeah, well, look,
No, you have to follow this. They have an economy, an agricultural economy that's based on goats.
Goats, yeah.
Goats. The goats are actually sacred. The soil is calcareous, like ours, and a red clover grows there. But it's deficient in proteins and nitrogens.
You know what you need? A nice cup of coffee.
Now, I have been developing a species, highly nutritious, of purple clover. It would practically double the output of milk.
Is that a fact?
Think of how many lives this will save.
That's really great, you know?
It could have been the supreme achievement of my career. It could have meant a Nobel Prize, perhaps. Now there's talk of Dr. Howells winning it. It isn't fair. It's mine. Don't you understand? It's my grass. I created it. It's mine. Tell me, for doing that to me, for taking it from me, isn't that enough to justify my killing him?
I tell you what you ought to do, Prof. You ought to go home and sleep on it.
You don't believe me. You believe because I'm a woman, I'm incapable of scientific achievement.
Oh, that's not so. There's a whole lot of lady scientists.
Thank you, Pete. Is that your name, Pete? Thank you.
What for?
For listening to me.
Oh, my pleasure.
And I see now. How clearly I see it now. If my life is to have any meaning at all, I must kill him.
Yeah, well, it's really getting late. You'll see. You'll feel better in the morning.
I feel better already. I'm strangely at peace with myself. I'm quite contented. You've made me see it. His death will rid me of all my demons.
Now, you really don't want to kill anyone. You're a lady.
Good night, Pete. You're a gentleman.
Yeah, well, James, well, she's got to be crazy. But what if she ain't crazy? Maybe I'd better... I don't know. If I tell a story like this, won't they think I'm nuts?
Lieutenant Novak. Hello. This is Lieutenant Novak. Hello. Who's on the other end of this?
Oh, no, not him. Of all the cops who could have answered that phone... Definitely not Novak.
Oh, someone's at the door. Just a minute. Oh, who could be ringing the bell at this hour? It's noon. How could I have slept till noon? Just a minute! I'll get on my... Just a minute! How could I have slept so late? Who is it?
Police.
Police? Why would...
Dr. Augustus Sanderson?
Yes.
I'm Police Lieutenant Novak. May I come in?
Well, yes. Why?
You are Augustus Sanderson?
I am.
Miss Sanderson, you're under arrest.
What? What are you saying?
The charge is suspicion of murder.
Murder? Who's murder?
Dr. Eugene Everett Howe.
Oh, but you're making
I must inform you of your constitutional rights.
But I didn't kill
Anything
him.
Anything you say may be used against
please,
you.
Please, you can't be serious. Are you saying Gene Howells is dead?
That's right.
But why do you insist that I...
You said that you would kill him.
But I was only...
You're only one. Now, Professor Sanderson, you insisted that Pete Grimes at the Oasis Bar and Grill last
well,
night...
Well,
you...
I was feeling very unhappy, and there are times when you say things you shouldn't.
You had a motive.
Motive?
Didn't you say that he has robbed you of a discovery?
Oh, that.
Yes, that. A discovery you considered great enough to make you eligible for the Nobel Prize?
He didn't exactly rob me.
No?
No, I gave it to him. I had to. Otherwise, well, it wouldn't be used, so I said, take it. It might as well be yours.
Why did you give it to him?
Because they wouldn't take it from me, from a woman.
I don't know what you're talking about.
In that part of Asia, women are considered, well, not exactly unclean, but it's hard for you as an American to visualize this. But the fact of my being a woman would make the grass defiled, unfit for the goats, which are holy animals.
According to the way you told the story to Pete last night, Howells robbed you of the credit.
He did. But I had no choice. If I was to save millions of lives, I would have to sacrifice my own vanity and say to Jean, let it be known as yours. But afterward, when I saw how Howells was preening himself...
You killed him?
No.
You left Pete's oasis at 9 p.m. The coroner places the time of death at midnight. Where were you at midnight?
Here. Right here.
Can anyone support that statement?
Well, no.
According to Mr. Pete Grimes, you were acting somewhat strangely.
You could say that, yes, but I didn't kill him.
You went directly home after you left Pete's oasis at 9 p.m.?
Yes.
The ballistics lab has established that Dr. Howells was killed by a .22 caliber bullet. You own a gun?
Yes. Yes, I have a .22 caliber revolver, which I carry sometimes when I am in the field, especially when the snakes are shedding.
May I see it?
You see, snakes are very nervous when they shed.
Have a pistol, please.
And they strike at shadows.
Thank you. This gun's been fired recently.
Oh, no, not in months.
Well, you can smell it. You can see the fouling. Here. Five live cartridges and one empty shell.
But I haven't used... The gun should be empty.
The lab will determine whether or not this is the gun, but...
But what? I put the gun away. I didn't even have any bullets. I was supposed to buy...
I see the shoes you were wearing last night.
Why?
May I?
What will my shoes show you?
Dr. Howells is having a sidewalk repaired. There's dirt and mud in front of his doorstep. We have a mold of shoe prints. I'm sure these shoes will fit them.
But I...
There's dried mud on these shoes, too, Professor.
I can explain that.
Can you?
I was angry, so I went to his house after I left the oasis.
But you said you went directly home.
I know I did. I know. I just thought that it might be embarrassing if I admitted... Nothing happened. I just saw him briefly, and I left and came here.
Professor... There are people who get themselves into a highly agitated state. Then they commit a crime. A serious crime like murder. And afterwards they forget all about it.
I am incapable of killing. I am not a murderer.
But what you're saying is you never killed anyone before. That's who the majority of murderers are.
But I know who I am and what I believe.
Well, that's why you made sure you'd be caught and punished, because you were brought up to believe no one should get away with murder.
But I didn't.
Now, first you were sure to make a public announcement.
I wasn't making any. I was overwrought.
You were sure to state that you had a powerful
that
motive.
That doesn't prove.
Third, you used your own gun.
Why do you insist?
Fourth, you must have been aware of the fact that you were leaving shoe marks in the dirt. Why didn't you avoid doing that? Why couldn't you at least wipe off the mud? Now. Well, now you just think about it.
Detective, I don't know what to say.
Well, did she or didn't she? Even she doesn't know for sure. The blacking out of unpleasant memories is by no means a rare occurrence in our culture. Well, let's give her an opportunity to collect her thoughts and see what, if anything, she can come up with in Act Two. They say the wish is the father of the deed, which is why we have inhibitions. No? After all, if every time you felt like killing someone, you did it, who among us would be out of jail? And so, here we have Augustus Sanderson, Ph.D., a knowledgeable professor of agriculture, about to be booked on a charge of homicide. Talk about still waters running deep. Here is a quiet brook, which apparently has no bottom.
What are you going to do with me, Lieutenant Novak?
Take you in, book you.
Lieutenant, please, give me a chance to think.
Well, that's not my job.
But I have to get my thoughts together, and how can I think in jail?
I'm sure you'll get out on bond.
But I'll be a different person. I'll stand accused of murder. People will look at me in a different way. I'll even look at myself differently. Please, help me.
How?
Help me think it through from the beginning. Someone killed Gene Howells. If I didn't kill him, who did?
Look, Professor...
I need your help. The help of an experienced professional
detective.
That's
not my job.
And once you arrest me, you'll be through with me.
I already arrested you. I even told you your rights.
I know. You said I had the right to counsel. Well, you're my counsel.
I'm not a lawyer.
A counselor is one who advises. Now, please listen and advise me. Who else could have killed Gene Howells?
Who else had a motive?
Let me explain that to you.
Now, we're wasting time.
You never waste time. You only waste effort. Arrest me and you'll get further away from the truth.
Well, what is the truth?
What did happen? What is the chain of events that led you to my door? The first link. Among exchange students at the university is the crown prince of a protectorate located high in the Himalayan mountains. In Asia.
I know where the Himalayan mountains are.
And it occurred to me that I could help the prince to help his countrymen, who are mostly poverty-stricken herdsmen. And so, you see, Prince Lutov...
Oh, you must call me Shorty.
Ah, Shorty.
It is a fabulous joke. You see, I am 6 feet tall. None of my countrymen grow that high. You see, my brother Ali here is barely 5 feet. That is average for our country. Small people with small bones.
That's why I'm here, Prince, because your countrymen do not grow.
Fabulous! You hear that, Ali? A lady professor, a Shahiba, visits us because our country people are small.
There is great wisdom in this country, magnificent one, which is why we are...
Ali, in public, even you must call me Shorty.
The staple food of your people is milk, goat's milk.
The sacred goats of Kandar?
But the milk is scanty and significantly low in protein.
The milk is sacred. What the Sahiba says is blasphemy.
The problem can be solved by introducing a new kind of pasturage, a new clover which I have developed, one that contains more nutrients, one that will double the output of milk.
Fabulous!
We would have to arrange for proper plowing and seeding.
His Magnificence wishes to thank you. You will be informed of his decision in due time.
Yeah, but Ali, what
Just
is that?
Because
to,
you are not at home, Magnificent Shorty, does not mean you may act without meditation or counsel.
He's right, Professor. He's always right. He may be my younger brother, but he has the brains in our family. We will communicate with you in due time.
I didn't know what to think. Here, I was offering these people a way to save millions of lives. And how? How could they be so cavalier about it? And would you believe, a week later, I received a note from Ali?
Dear Professor Sanderson, after considerable meditation and prayer for guidance, His Magnificence, the Crown Prince Lutov, has determined that your estimable project is not practical at this time.
Why is it impractical?
Sahiba, it is impractical because you are a woman.
What does that have
And
to...
because you are a woman, you are impure.
Really? In what way?
In our country, you would not be permitted to come in contact with the goats of Kandar, which are sacred beasts.
But I'll have nothing to do with your goats.
You will have provided them with food. The people will ask, this new grass, from whence does it come? And the answer, it is the creation of a woman. We shall have civil war.
No one has to know.
It will come out.
How?
It will be a major news event, hailed all over the world. Many of our people read.
You mean they would rather starve than accept food created by a woman?
Madam, this is our religion. It is not to be mocked.
Forgive me.
Now, we appreciate your concern, Professor, but we must analyze the entire problem. Your new grass may save thousands from hunger, but cause just as many to die in riots.
Is this being turned down because I am a woman? Is that the only reason?
Yes. His Magnificent Shorty has no choice.
Well, then, perhaps there is something I can do.
What are you saying, Augusta?
Jean, this is your discovery.
But I... That's not right.
I've agonized over this thing. What am I supposed to do? Let people starve because of their prejudices? And what right have I to call them prejudices? Those are devoutly held beliefs.
But this grass, this thick purple clover, I didn't know it could be developed.
I didn't either.
Well, how did the idea occur to you?
Perhaps... Well, perhaps it was supposed to occur to me.
Well, now, what does that mean?
Oh, anything you'd like it to mean.
Augusta, I'm afraid to take the credit.
Afraid?
Yeah, I'm afraid of what it might do to me. This will be hailed. You know that, don't you?
Yes.
It will earn its discoverer recognition, awards. How will I react? How will my personality change? I've always been content to do my work quietly.
We're talking about life or death for hundreds of thousands, millions of people.
And how will you change, Augusta? You'll see me regarded as a savior. What will it do to you? You'll start to hate me.
I could never hate you, Jean.
It isn't right. You've been struggling with this discovery for so long. You're going to regret it.
I'll think of all the children who'll have a chance to live. I'll regret nothing.
I'll regret it.
I thought and thought. There's no other way.
So you finally convinced Dr. Howells to become a hero. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
It's very noble of you. Very self-sacrificing. So why did you accuse him of stealing everything in Pete's Oasis?
Because Jean was right. He started to believe after a little while that the clover was actually his. It was supposed to be kept secret till we were ready for planting. But he let out a word here and there. And, well, compliments, praise poured in. He started to preen himself.
And that's when you found out you were human, after all.
Yes.
And you gave up without a fight.
I'm not a fighter. I think it's more important for the grass to grow.
Now, I have to repeat this vital question, Professor. Why give the credit to Dr. Howells?
Because he is an authority on agriculture.
Yes, sure, but is he the only one?
Well, no.
The fact is, you could have given it to any number of people, isn't that true?
Yes, yes.
All right, why Howells? All right, I'll tell you why. You're in love with him.
That's
what?
That's...
That's either true or false. You see, I listened to every word you said. Not only to the words, but to how you said them. I could never hate you, Jean. There's a tone in your voice when you say his name. That's funny, you call him Jean, he calls you Augusta. It's kind of formal, isn't it?
Everyone calls me Augusta.
But as far as you're concerned, Dr. Howells wasn't everyone.
I admit, I confess, perhaps... Why shouldn't I have felt that I... As I was in love with him. We certainly had similar interests.
And so you gave him this grass discovery, hoping somehow that he might respond to you.
That's not true.
It isn't, huh?
I gave him the credit. Because of the starving people.
Sure, and also because he might feel he owed you something. Like a proposal of marriage.
That's a lie.
Only you know that for sure. All right, maybe it wasn't so cut and dried. A few things are, but... There was an element of give and take, wasn't there?
Yes.
But your generosity didn't change the nature of your relationship with Howells, did it?
No.
It was still friendship, at best, wasn't it?
Yes.
And that's what really infuriated you, wasn't it?
No.
You were, as they say in the books, the woman spurned.
Please believe me, I didn't kill him.
I'm afraid we have to go.
Where?
To police headquarters.
But I'm innocent.
Professor Sanderson, I admire you. You're a woman who worked hard against a lot of odds to get where you are. On the way, you must have missed out on many things.
Please, please, I am telling you I am innocent.
There was something between you and Howells.
No.
Well, what did happen? You're giving me a story about some purple grass, some Asiatic prince, some deal you made to give Howells the credit for something. Now, how do I know any of it is true?
What are you saying?
This business about the grass, all I've got is your word for it.
I tell you it's true.
Well, all right. There's only one way to find out. Isn't there?
How may I help you?
Prince, Your Highness.
Shorty. You must call me Shorty.
I'm a police detective, as I believe this gentleman has told you.
Oh, yes. My brother Ali informed me. It's fabulous.
You know this lady?
This lady?
Of course they know me.
Ali, is this charming lady familiar?
No.
You must remember me. I was here to tell you all about my new grass.
Grass? Ali, what would we have to do with grass?
We have never seen this lady before in our lives.
Oh, it is a pity, because she is a most charming lady.
We spoke about the goats, the sacred goats of Kandar, and you said because I was a woman, I was impure.
Oh, that is impossible. Why should we insult you?
I told you the discovery would belong to Dr. Howells, and you said in that case you would accept it.
Ali, do we know a Dr. Howell?
No.
But I was here. We spoke.
Professor, it's time we were leaving.
Ever get the feeling that everybody around you is crazy and that you are the only sane, sensible person in the room, or even the world? Well, if you ever did, you are in a perfect position to appreciate what is going on inside Professor Augustus Sanderson this very moment. Well, we still have the third act, and usually we manage to sort these things out. What do you do when you are accused of murder? I suppose you admit it if it's true and deny it if it's false. But suppose you are not sure of the answer. Suppose the charge could be true or false. Suppose you reach that point where you just don't know. Is such a state of affairs possible?
But I was here. I spoke to you both.
Oh, would we forget so delightful a lady as you?
The Sahiba is mistaken.
I can't be.
Gentlemen, I'm sorry we bothered you.
Oh, it was no bother. Just think, Ali, when we return home, we can say we had a visit from a real American detective. Oh, fabulous.
Professor, I'm sorry, Professor Sanderson. The train has come to the end of the line. Last stop. All out.
What does one bring to a jail?
Well, a toothbrush, a change of clothes. Like I say, you've got a good chance of being out on bond.
Thank you. Lieutenant Novak, I can prove that I gave the credit for the discovery to Dr. Howells.
Well, suppose you did.
Then that would prove that those two are lying.
No, it would only prove that you gave the discovery to Dr. Howells for reasons wrong.
What reasons would I have?
Personal reasons. And that's why you killed him.
I still say I didn't do it.
Well, if that's your story, stick to it.
I didn't. Someone stole my revolver.
Professor, you'll have to convince a jury.
You don't believe it.
What I believe right now doesn't matter at all. Now just pack a small bag.
Ali?
Yes, Magnificence.
Tell me, little brother, why did we have to engage in that charade with the police detective?
I thought it would be instructive.
Instructive?
Why have we come to this most democratic of all countries? You were the one who insisted.
I know. I wanted to live like an ordinary common member of the people.
A desire I could never understand. Well, the common people, whether they be ignorant shepherds or sophisticated Americans, act alike as far as the police are concerned.
Is that true?
When questioned by police, the common people in America do exactly as our people do. But they have a most picturesque phrase for it. They clam up.
Clam up. How beautifully descriptive.
In both countries, one simply does not become involved with the police. And so, when I heard there was an officer at the door, I decided to act in our best interests. Who knows where a thing like this could lead?
Clam up.
It is, after all, my duty to advise you.
Fabulous!
Are you ready, Professor? As I said, you don't have to pack too much.
Lieutenant, Rutoff and his brother Ali were lying.
It's all in the hands of the jury now.
Don't say that.
Well, what do you want me to say? Look, I want you to know something. I like you.
Please don't.
Don't what?
Don't say meaningless words in an attempt to make me feel better.
I like you. Because you're a woman. Who's smart? Who? Well, who's good looking?
If you really liked me, you'd listen to my story.
Because I like you, I'm advising you to change it. You want to beat this, don't you? Tell the truth. The truth is always the best defense, no matter how bleak it looks. The jury responds to the truth. They feel it. They respect you for it.
But I am telling the truth.
No. It was a lover's quarrel. I have your lawyer get women on the jury. They eat that up.
If you're going to arrest me, get it over with.
Okay, I just wish you'd listen.
The truth is, someone came here, stole my gun. My gun, you have it. I want a receipt for it.
You'll get it. It'll be an exhibit at the trial. 122 caliber revolver. 5 cartridges, 1 empty shell.
I don't care about those. They don't belong to me. I wouldn't keep a loaded gun in the house. I don't even have any bullets, I told you. Why can't you believe
me? Because if I believed you, I'd have to believe in Santa Claus. And furthermore...
Hey, maybe I do.
What?
These cartridges, they're not American made. Look at what it says on the rim of each cartridge. Here. Where the manufacturer has his name. That's not American writing.
Those letters? It's a different alphabet. They could be Hindi.
Foreign shells. Made in India. Nobody sells them around here.
It was the younger brother, Ali.
Hold it.
I know why it was Ali. Let me tell you, from the very beginning, he was the one who was opposed to the...
Now, hold it a minute. This is Lieutenant Novak. I need something in a hurry. You got that Crown Prince going to the college and his brother? All right, get the phone number. Call him. Say it's a routine annual inquiry about guns. Ask if he has one, and what kind. All right, call me right back at this number. 227-8308. Yeah.
The bullets have to belong to Ali.
Only if he has a .22 of his own.
It was Ali. I know it.
How can you be so sure?
He came here. He stole my gun, but it was empty. It was nighttime. The stores are closed. Where can he buy bullets? He can't, so he goes home. He gets his own.
He would only have those bullets if he owns a .22.
He has to. He must. It's the only thing that makes sense.
All right. Even if we can prove these are his cartridges, you know what he can say? He can say you stole them.
Why would
Because you're trying to construct a case against him. And you are.
I just know he killed Gene Howells.
Let's examine your whole story. They won't take the grass seed from you because you're a woman. All right, fine. You give it to Dr. Howells. Now, what's the objection?
The objection?
Now, it's plain sailing, isn't it? Plant the new grass, feed all the hungry people. What's wrong?
Allie, it's Allie. When I saw Gene Howells last night, he was terribly depressed and very frightened.
Lieutenant Novak. Yeah. Oh, he does. Okay. Prince Ali has a .22 pistol registered in his name.
Which means these are his bullets.
You said Dr. Howells was depressed? Why?
Let me think. I was so angry and upset when I went to see him. I know I went in there hating him, and I left feeling sorry for him.
But you haven't told me why.
What did he say to me? Let me try to remember exactly what he said to me.
I wish I'd never heard of that Clover of yours.
Really? The last time I read the papers, it was that Clover of yours.
It's mine only because that's how you'd have it. I told you this would happen. You'd have second thoughts and I'd have a guilty conscience.
I'm sorry. It is all my fault.
And it may have been all for nothing.
Why?
They don't want the grass. They didn't realize it was purple in color.
Oh, what's wrong with purple?
Allie explained it. Purple is an unlucky color, and so the time wasn't right. But perhaps in the future...
What was supposed to happen in the future? If purple is unlucky, it will always be unlucky.
I became angry. I told Allie somehow I would let his people know about this grass and how badly they need it.
And what was his answer?
Nothing. He looked at me. Just looked. Those funny eyes. Well, you think they're funny, but they can be frightening. Augusta, why did you have to tempt me with this?
Please, Gene, try to be calm.
It's going to end badly. I know it.
We tried. They won't take our help. This is all we can do. Prince Lutov was willing to go along, and it was Allie who raised the objection, and when that objection was removed, it was Allie who found a new one, the color.
Well, why would Allie want his people to go on starving?
Because... Wait. Gene said Allie had told him that the time wasn't ripe. Perhaps in the future. When it could do Allie himself some good.
Are you saying Allie has ideas of his own?
If Prince Lutov is overthrown, and he could be, if the people get hungry enough...
Does Allie get the top spot then?
And then, as the new ruler, Allie can claim heaven showed him a new grass, and henceforth purple will be the color favored by the gods. But there's one thing. Where would he get the grass, with Gene dead?
Well, he could come to you with a brand new story.
No, the woman thing is too deeply rooted.
Well, as it stands right now, well, what is the grass? Where does it exist?
The grass is a box full of seeds, plus volumes of notes detailing hundreds of experiments, how it's formed, how it should be planted.
Well, where is all this stuff?
I turned it over to Gene. It should all be in his files at home. And I'll bet it's gone. I delivered the seeds and the notes to him myself. The only place he could keep them would be in these files.
Are you sure they wouldn't be anywhere else?
I'm positive. Besides, look at the notation on this drawer. PC, purple clover. And the drawer is empty.
Well, that's that.
What does that mean?
We have a very good hypothesis, but no evidence. So far, you are still the best suspect.
But you know I am innocent. There must be some way we can prove that Allie is... I have an idea. I'll go to see Prince Allie, and I'll confront him with what we know. That will force him to threaten me, perhaps to try to kill me. You can save me at the last minute.
It's not going to work.
Why?
Because this is a country of laws. What you're suggesting is illegal.
Why is it illegal?
Because it's considered entrapment.
But you see it all the time in the movies.
And those movies all end up before the judge throws the evidence out of court.
But you did give me an idea.
What idea?
It's a very simple routine idea. Now you go home, wait there.
What are you going to do?
Just police business. Just go home and wait.
But I can't wait.
You'll just have to.
No, Sahiba. I'm really quite embarrassed.
Your younger brother is plotting against you.
Ali? Oh, that is impossible.
The woman is mad.
Ali wants your people to starve so they will revolt. You will be killed, he succeeds you, and then he gives them the purple grass.
That's a lie.
Fabulous.
It's true. He has discouraged you from accepting the clover. Why? He wants to give it to the people himself.
She's mad.
Oh, what a woman. Look at the fire in her eyes. You may think I'm young for you, Professor, but I value an older woman.
Don't you understand the implications of what I am saying to you?
Be my first wife. The others don't matter. They're only concubines. You will rule, and with fabulous wisdom.
I'm telling you about your brother.
Oh, I know he's plotting against me. It is expected of brothers.
You knew?
Didn't I plot against our older brother?
Then you should have done something about me when you had the chance.
What are you doing with that pistol?
She'll be blamed. She'll be thought mad because of her purple grass. She's already killed her lover, and now you. Because you made her give up her discovery.
No, it's not going to work that way at all. Just lower that gun.
That's nice. Why'd you come here, Augusta?
Because
you didn't think I could help you, huh?
Well, I thought
I just went back for a search warrant. All we have to do is find the seeds and the notes in his possession. Will we find them, Ali?
I don't...
They are in his trunk.
You knew, Lutov?
Of course I knew. I plan to take care of you as soon as we return to our own country. Here, I am restricted by all kinds of legalities.
Prince, I intend to arrest your brother. Will you claim any diplomatic privilege?
None at all. The law is sacred. It must be observed.
Smitty, go get his trunk. Wilson, take him to the station house.
Well, Professor Sanderson, shall you consider my proposal?
She can't do that. She has to come along with me.
Where are we going?
This way, ma'am.
Where are you taking me? Surely I'm not under arrest.
Now, listen. You'd consider going off to Asia with that character?
Oh, I have to take it under very serious consideration.
Why?
It's the first time anyone at all made me a proposal.
Well, relax. You're about to get another one.
I'll be back shortly with a final thought. How slender a thread holds up the world. If a million goats can give an extra pint of milk a day, that can mean the difference between life and death for thousands of children. So the true heroes are the overlooked and unknown heroes who daily solve the really great mystery: how to get an acre to yield another few bushels, or the hen to lay another egg. Our cast included Sandy Dennis, Ralph Bell, Robert Dryden, and Arnold Stang. Associate Director, Marlon Swing. This is Hyman Brown, producer-director, inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, then, pleasant dreams.
That was part of the Renaissance movement of the mid-1970s, where and earlier 70s, where they tried to bring back radio, but it was kind of a losing affair with television. Television was getting bigger and bigger, in fact, at that time. They had satellite and cable TV coming in, as well as VCRs and the whole shoot and match, and radio, it just didn't catch on. But we love our radio dramas here. We still have them, and that's what's important. After that, we want to have a little comedy. And I'm looking over what we got here, and I think we're going to go with a Baby Snook show. And here's redecorating the house.
Baby Snook! Yes, it's the Baby Snook Show, starring Fanny Bryce as Baby Snooks with Hanley Stafford as Daddy, Carmen Dragon and his orchestra, and yours truly, Harlow Wilcox. And now to Sycamore Terrace. The Higginses have decided to redecorate their home. Toward this end, Mummy has enrolled in an interior decorating class, while Daddy, with a more realistic approach to the problem, is down in the cellar building himself a piece of furniture that he's always wanted.
Daddy!
Snooks, please don't bother me right now.
Why?
Because I'm trying to finish this before your mother gets home.
What is it?
What is it? Or what does it look like?
A bookcase?
No.
A banana?
No, it's a desk.
Oh.
And the kind of desk I've always wanted. A man-sized desk with a lot of room to keep things in.
I want to help you build it.
No.
I want to help you build it.
It's all finished. All I have to do now is carry it upstairs. Just look at it. Isn't she a beauty?
Yeah.
If I were to try to buy this in a downtown store, it'd cost a couple of $100. And you know what they'd call it?
A bouquet?
No.
A banana?
Now, stop being silly. They call it an antique.
What's an antique?
An antique is a very old piece of furniture. Like that chair we have in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real antique.
How can you tell?
Oh, it's very simple. Have you ever noticed the little wormholes in it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were made by worms. In an imitation, the wormholes wouldn't be made by worms. They'd be made by men.
Then they wouldn't be wormholes.
What would they be?
Manholes.
Oh, Snooks.
Have you got wormholes in this one? In this desk here?
No. Pigeonholes. What are you yelling about?
You scared me.
What do you know about humor? Or about furniture?
I know a lot about furniture. Me and Phoebe, we decorated our whole clubhouse all by ourselves.
Your clubhouse?
Yeah.
Who's in your club?
Me and Phoebe.
What do you call yourselves?
Snooks and Phoebe.
Well, that's a fine name for a club.
Oh, that ain't the name of the club. We got a wonderful name.
Oh, you have?
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
No Dumping.
No Dumping?
Yeah. It was the only sign we could find.
Oh, swell. Well, run along and get yourself an appropriate sign. Something like, don't feed the animals. And now leave me alone.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to carry this desk upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
I want to set it in the living room and surprise your mother when she gets home.
Well, let me help you carry it.
That's all I need.
It's too heavy for you, little daddy.
I'll manage. If you want to do something, guide me upstairs while I've got it on my back.
All right.
Now, let's see if I can lift it. Oh, there. Boy, this is heavier than I thought.
But it's comfortable.
What do you mean, comfortable? Snooks, where are you?
Sitting on the desk.
Get down off there.
All right. Is it still too heavy, Daddy?
No, I can manage easily. What's the matter with you, Snooks? What are you standing on now?
Nothing.
Then why do you seem to be growing taller?
Because you're sinking to your knees.
Oh. Well, come on. I'll make it all right. Just guide me and make sure I don't bump into anything.
All right, Daddy.
Now.
This way, Daddy.
Fine. Am I going to clear the wall on the right side of the door?
Yes.
Am I going to clear the wall on the left side of the door?
Uh-huh.
Good. Here we go. Ow! What happened?
The door was closed.
Well, open it, you nincompoop.
What's a nincompoop?
Never mind.
Is it anything like income tax?
For Pete's sake, I've got a desk on my shoulders. Open the door.
Well, here you are, Daddy.
Now, lead me to the living room.
Now, give me your little hand.
I can't give you my hand. I'm using it.
Just go straight ahead, Daddy. Daddy, can I have your other old desk for our clubhouse?
No.
You're not going to use it.
I'm going to sell it. Every penny helps when you're redecorating your home.
Well, every penny helps when you're redecorating a clubhouse. Come on, like
forget about it. Where am I, anyway?
Out on the porch, Daddy.
Oh, for Pete's sake. Why did you let me walk all the way through the living room?
I don't know. I just got so interested in the conversation.
Oh. You just wait till I get this desk down.
Well, what are you going to do?
I'm going to wail the daylights out of you.
Goodbye, Daddy.
Where are you going?
To my clubhouse. And you can't get in there without the password.
Oh, for goodness sake, what a child. Phew. Thank heavens I got this off my shoulders.
Lancelot, what's all the racket? What's going on?
Hello, Vera. How do you like it?
How do I like what?
This desk. Built it myself. If you were to go to a downtown furniture store...
Lancelot Higgins, you're not going to put this monstrosity in the living room, are you?
Monstrosity? I like that. I spent 2 weeks building a fine piece of furniture.
Lancelot, it's hideous. It doesn't fit in at all with the decor I've planned.
Decor, nightcore. Let me tell you something. If we're going to redecorate this house, I'm going to have a desk I can call my own.
You already have a desk you call your own.
This one will have a lock on it. And it won't serve as a hideaway for old recipes, dress patterns, and used emery boards. Every time I reach into that desk, my hand comes up with half a dozen knitting needles stuck in it.
Oh, don't be silly. You'll have a desk and a fine one. I wouldn't even let Mr. Zimmel see this horror.
Mr. Zimmel? Who's Mr. Zimmel?
Mr. Lester Q. Zimmel. He's a teacher of our class and a world-famous authority on interior decoration. And, Lancelot, I have wonderful news for you. He's going to do our house.
Vera, I refuse to pay some guy a small fortune.
Oh, Lancelot, you don't understand. He's doing it for nothing.
Nothing?
Yes, he took a liking to me. It won't cost a cent except for the furniture, and he's getting that wholesale.
But, Vera, look...
You mustn't breathe a word of this to anyone. If the other women in the class know what he's doing for me, they'd die of jealousy.
Well, what about my desk?
Please, darling, forget that eyesore. Mr. Zimmel wants to do the house in early American. You know what that means, don't you?
Yes, I do. It means I'll wind up paying a small fortune for a desk that Priscilla wouldn't let John Alden keep in the house because it wasn't French provincial.
Hello there, Snooks.
Oh, how, Mr. Wilcox?
Hey, what's all that stuff you're carrying?
A chair, a lamp, a pillow. My mommy gave it to me for our clubhouse.
Well, that lamp won't do you much good. The cord is broken.
Oh, that's all right. We ain't got any electricity.
Well, how'd your mother happen to give you all these things?
Well, she's doing a house over. And we got an interior decorator.
Well, that's a coincidence. We're doing our house over, too. Hey, Snooks, can I come over and visit your clubhouse when it's finished?
Not unless you know the password.
Well, what is the password?
I promise you won't tell anybody.
Promise.
Word of honor?
Word of honor.
Cross your heart?
Cross
hope
my heart.
To die?
Cross my heart.
Sorry. I'm not allowed to tell you.
Now, this we will put here. And this we will put here. And this we will put here.
Pardon me.
Yes?
Where do you want this?
Snooks, please don't annoy Mr. Zimmel. He's trying to concentrate.
Merci. Now, in this corner...
Oh, before you plan for that corner, Mr. Zimmel, I'd like to suggest a big easy chair for my husband.
Maurice?
No, Lancelot.
Snooks, I asked you to keep quiet.
Oh, mais non, madame. Always let the child talk. The great ideas sometimes come from the tiny brain. Now back to this room. Ah, I have the great idea.
From the tiny brain?
No. Listen to this. I take the sofa and put it where the high boy is. Then I take the high boy and put it where the chair is. Then I take the chair and put it where the piano is. The piano and put it where the table is. The table and put it where the lamp is. The lamp and put it where the bookcase is. Then I put the bookcase where the sofa is. What do you think of that?
He thinks.
jokes. You better run along.
Let the child talk, Mommy. Sometimes the great idea.
Never mind that. Now you get out of here or the large hand will fall on the tiny seat.
All right. Can I take the ashtray to my clubhouse?
Now, don't be ridiculous. What do you want with an ashtray?
For jelly beans.
All right, take it and go. You've been having a field day today in this house.
Thank you. Goodbye, Mr. Zimmel.
Over. A lovely child. Now we get back to work. You will notice that the wallpaper I have ordered neutralizes the color of the fingerprints on the woodwork.
You're so clever, Mr. Zimmel. Oh, landslide.
Hello, Vera.
Dear, I'd like you to meet Mr. Lester Q. Zimmel.
Ah, hello. I've been hearing a lot about you lately.
Charmed, Mr. Higgins. We were just discussing your living room. Listen to what I am going to do. I take the sofa and put it where the highboy is. Then I take the highboy and put it where the chair is.
I'll tell him later, Mr. Zimmel.
Yes. Then I take the chair and put it where the piano is. The piano and put it where the table is.
Mr. Zimmel, you were going to look at the bedroom, remember?
Yes. The table and put it where the lamp is. The lamp and put it where the book is. Oh, the bedroom. Ah, yes, I must look at the bedroom. Pardonnez-moi.
What a schmo.
Well, he may seem rather strange personally, but wait till you see the things he does.
I'm dying to.
By the way, what are you doing home so early?
I just dropped by to pick up an important contract. Left it in the desk drawer.
Which desk?
My new one, the one I built. I'll just grab the papers and run.
Oh, dear.
Oh, what's the matter?
Well, I told you I wasn't keeping that thing. I didn't even want Mr. Zimmel to see it.
What did you do with it?
I gave it as Nooks and Phoebe for their clubhouse.
Oh, great. Where is this clubhouse?
It's in that vacant lot on the next block.
Vera, you and I'll discuss this later. Right now, I got to get that contract before I lose my job.
Snooks! Snooks! Let me in!
Who goes there, friend or foe?
It's me. Open the door.
What's the password?
Never mind that password business. Open the door.
Rules and regulations. Admit no one without they first give the password.
You let me in. I want to talk to you.
What's the password?
The password is if you don't let me in, I'll hang you hide.
Enter friend. How, Daddy?
Snooks, where is it?
What?
That desk I built. Mommy says she gave it to you.
Oh, yeah. Well, it wouldn't fit in our clubhouse, so we sold it.
You sold it?
Yeah.
Oh.
For charity. We got $2 for it, and we used the money for very hungry children.
What hungry children?
Me and Phoebe.
I thought so.
Do you want some ice cream, Daddy? Phoebe got sick.
Oh, stop that. Well, we got to find that desk. I left an important contract in it. Who did you sell it to?
A junk man.
Well, which junk man? What's his name?
I don't know, but he's got a brother.
A brother?
Yeah. He said he wouldn't give his old brother more than $2 for it.
Well, come on. We're going to find that desk if we have to track down every junk dealer in town. Well, how do I get out of here?
What's the password?
Now, you stop that. Open this door. Is that the man, Snooks?
Yeah. I recognize him by his nose.
Well, at last. Come on.
Hello, little girl.
Hello, mister. How's your brother?
Oh, quiet, you.
I want to know how his brother...
Never mind his brother. Now, listen, bud. Where's that desk you swindled my daughter out of?
Oh, that one. I sold it to a second-hand furniture store. Got 25 bucks for it.
Oh, you did? You pay a little girl $2 and you get 25. How can you afford it?
I make it up on the volume.
Well, be good enough to tell me what furniture store you sold it to.
Sure. White Hours, right down the street.
Thank you. Come on, Snooks.
Oh, yes, we had that desk, but we sold it.
You sold it? To whom?
To a dealer on the other side of town. He said it was just what he was looking for. Paid us 75 bucks for it.
How can you afford it?
Oh, you keep still. Come on.
Oh, why, yes, we no sooner got that desk in than we sold it for $200. As a matter of fact, Our man is out delivering it now.
Could you give me the name of the party it's being delivered to? I left something important in one of the drawers.
Well, I don't have that information offhand, but I'll get it from the driver as soon as he returns and telephone you.
Good. I'll wait to hear from you. Come along, Snooks.
Voila! I will hold the wallpaper against the wall, Mrs. Iggy. There. How do you like the effect?
Oh, it's beautiful, Mr. Zimmel.
I think these 30 rolls will be sufficient for this room and the other 20 for the bedroom. My wallpaper man will be here tomorrow and put it up.
Oh, there's my family.
Hello, Mommy.
Hello, Vera.
Did you find that contract, dear?
Well, I tracked it down anyway. They're going to phone me in a few minutes.
We've been all over town.
We'll run into the kitchen, Snooks. Your milk's been standing there for an hour.
All right.
Lancelot, Mr. Zimmel has a most wonderful surprise for you.
Oui, oui.
Well, I can stand one after what I've been through. What is it?
He found the most perfect desk for your study. Oui. An authentic early American from the Miles Standish period.
Oui, 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 oui. See, she is still in the wrappings.
Mr. Zimmel wanted you to have the pleasure of opening it yourself. Go ahead, dear.
Well, gosh, this is a surprise.
I absolutely stole it. She cost me only $300.
Well, it really ought to be. Hey, what kind of a joke is this?
What do you mean?
This is the desk I built.
Oh, Lancelot, please, don't be ridiculous.
C'est impossible. This desk was built by Miles Standish himself. See under this drawer, M.S. Miles Standish.
Miles Standish, my foot. That stands for maple syrup. I built it out of a packing case.
He makes a joke.
I'll make a joke right on the end of your nose, you faker.
Lancelot, how dare you insult Mr. Zimmel?
I'll show you how dare I. Look in this bottom drawer. There. Did Miles Standish write this contract for Weemish Varnish?
Oh, dear.
Did Miles Standish sign it, Lancelot Higgins? Or maybe he got John Alden to do it for him.
Well, anybody can make a mistake.
Not when it costs me $300.
Je ne comprends. She is most confusing.
Ah, go on. Get out of here, you fake. And take that phony French accent with you.
Phony?
That's what I said. I got a good mind to buff you right in the kisser.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Says who?
Says me.
You are what regiment of Marines?
This one.
Stole me schnoz! Help! Leave me out of here!
Well, there you are, Vera. There's your world-famous interior decorator. You can thank me for showing him up.
Lancelot Higgins, don't you ever speak to me again.
But Vera, the guys are phoning.
Why, you big bully. How can I ever face the members of my class? All he did was make one little mistake and you punched him. I've never been so humiliated.
Well, that's feminine logic for you.
What's the matter, Daddy?
There's just no figuring out women.
We're funny, ain't we?
You can say that again.
We are funny.
Never mind. Listen, I've got an idea. You know something?
What?
There must be at least 50 rolls of wallpaper lying around here. Snooks, you and I are going to paper the walls ourselves.
Oh, boy.
We'll show her you don't need a French accent to decorate a house. Get that, Snooks.
Hello? Yes. Oh, thank you. I'll tell them.
Who was it?
It was that furniture store. They found out who bought the desk. And his name is Lancelot Higgins, and he...
Oh, for Pete's sake, come on.
Thank you.
now back to the Higgins home. Well, all is confusion, paper, and paste as Snooks and Daddy, in an attempt to show Mummy what they can do, are busily papering the bedroom.
Snooks, where are my glasses? I set them on this ladder just a minute ago.
They fell off.
Well, find them and step on it.
I can't. You're stepping on them.
Oh, great. A $20 pair of glasses broken. Now how am I going to finish this wallpaper job?
Oh, I'll help you, Daddy.
Oh, a fine combination. Me with my subnormal vision and you with your subnormal intellect.
What's an intellect?
Don't concern yourself. You'll never be bothered with one. Now pay attention and you might learn something.
About what?
About putting up wallpaper. I'm an old hand at this.
Mm-hmm.
Now to paste wallpaper properly, what's the first thing you need?
A wall.
No, paste. What kind of a silly answer is that?
Well, don't you need a wall?
Of course you need a wall. You can't just paste wallpaper on nothing.
Why?
Because you can't. Whoever heard of a wallpaper standing by itself in the middle of a room?
That's where it is now.
Snooks, are you going to help me or are you going to stand there making broken down jokes?
I'm going to help you.
Very well. I've already papered three walls, leaving exactly one wall to be finished. Now, I select a piece of paper, so.
Mm-hmm.
I dip the brush in the can of paste, so. And I slop the paste over the wall, so. What's the matter?
You slopped it all over my face.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't see very well without my glasses.
My face is all sticky.
Well, wipe it off with a piece of paper.
All right. Look, Daddy, I got wallpaper on my face. Ain't I pretty?
Take that off.
All right. Now, how do I look now?
Put it back on. No, no, give it to me. I gotta have it to the wall. There. Is it on straight?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting design, don't you think?
Yeah, what is it?
Oh, it's a sort of a mural depicting the evolution of man.
Where's the man?
He isn't up yet.
What time does he get up?
No, silly. I meant I haven't put him on the wall yet. What you see here are groups of prehistoric fish.
Mm-hmm.
Millions of years ago, man started his life as a fish.
Did you start as a fish?
Yes.
When did you stop being a fish?
I never stopped being a fish. That's why I'm married and I'm hanging wallpaper with you. Now, come on, direct me while I'm on top of this ladder. I can't see without my glasses. Is the paper straight?
Push it that way further.
Here?
Further.
Here?
Further.
Here? No!
Too far.
Oh, what happened? Everything's gone black.
Well, take the bucket off your head.
No. Snooks, the only thing saving you from a spanking right now is the fact that my glasses are broken and I got glue in my eyes.
Are you finished hanging the paper?
Yes. Now take a look around. Have I got everything covered?
Mm-hmm. Everything's covered.
Oh, good. I'd like to see a professional do a better job than this.
Never.
Go answer the phone, Snooks.
I can't.
What do you mean you can't? Open the door.
What door?
The door to the hall.
I don't see any door.
No door?
No door, no door.
Oh, good heavens. You didn't let me paper over that whole door, did you? Well, did you?
Didn't I?
I've completely lost my sense of direction. Which wall is the door on?
All the walls look alike.
Well, don't you see any bumps?
Yeah. Right here.
Well, rip off the paper.
All right.
Now what do you see?
Uncle Louie. He's hanging on the wall.
Oh, that's just a picture. But wait, it does give us a clue. Now, if Uncle Louie's picture's there, the door should be somewhere about here. Let's feel along the wall.
I'm feeling.
Ah, this must be it. I can tell by the woodwork.
Push it open, Daddy.
It's stuck.
Push harder.
Okay, here goes. Oh!
Daddy! Daddy! That was the window!
I'm down here in the rose bush.
I found the door, Daddy.
There's that phone again. Hurry up and answer it.
All right. Hello? Oh, hello, Mr. Weenie. Yeah, he's out in the garden. I'll call him.
Never mind. Give me that phone.
Hello? Oh, yes, Mr. Weemish. I located that contract. Well, I was going to bring it to you in the morning, but if you need it now, I'll trot right over. Yes, sir. Goodbye. Now, let's see. Where's that contract? I had it around here just a few minutes ago.
It's up in the bedroom, Daddy.
Well, where in the bedroom?
Under the wallpaper.
Under the wallpaper?
Yeah, under the wallpaper.
Oh. Do you mean to say you let me paste that document on the wall?
Yep.
Well, why didn't you tell me?
You didn't ask me.
Come here, Snooks. I've got a final bit of pasting to do.
Leave it to Snooks, the unpredictable. What a wonderful little surprise package she is. Next week, she'll be back with us in another one of her amazing adventures. Be sure to listen.
This program has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.
I gotta pack up my old-time radio and take off for this week, but we're back next week, same time, same place, for more great old-time radio here on the Weekly Download. Until then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.